So our scripture lesson today is from Matthew. It is chapter 20, and it is the first 15 verses. And it's talking about the laborers in the field, in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, then going to the first." When those hired around 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, friend, "I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. And so we talked about money last week at the beginning, and we're apparently going to get to talk about money a little bit this time too. So, and I told you last week I struggle with parables, and so I try to explain them in a way that makes sense to me. And that's the best I can do. If you can come up with an explanation that means more to you, that's okay. But I have to tell you in a way that makes sense to me. And so what he's trying to tell the followers that are listening to Jesus is, this is kind of what heaven's going to be like, how you're going to get into heaven. So I know Bill told me today he's already started harvesting. I had a big grain truck pass me yesterday full of soybeans. So the harvest has started. And so once it starts, you have to get it done. Well, it's no different for what they were trying to harvest. Now, the problem in Israel was you had a pretty short time because it went from being done to the rainy season. And if you got into the rainy season, then the crop was going to be ruined. And so that's why he's trying to get these workers to get this done. So you need to remember that a denarius was one day's pay, but it also only covered one day's expenses. So when we talk about these guys coming at a later time, it really matters to them how much money they get in a day to cover their family's wants. So if you can kind of picture these guys, they're all standing on a corner. So I put it in there kind of like an employment. It's their employment office, except instead of someone maybe from the state trying to help them find a job, this guy's going to come by and hire him. So he comes by in the morning, he gets all the men that he needed, he thought. So when they talk about a normal day, it would be from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And so when he's talking about coming like at 5 and noon and 3, basically you can divide the days up into quarters. And so you get an idea that people were working all day, 3/4 of a day, half a day, and some were only working 3 hours in an hour. So he has all these different people that have come at different times. Now, he already told us he's paying everybody the same. And who would think that when everybody got paid the same, somebody wouldn't grumble about they didn't think they got the right amount? I'm sure that that's never happened in some place that you've worked or work now, but these guys were complaining. And so there's kind of like different warnings, different stories, depending on which side of the street you're on here. So for Jewish people who historically thought they were God's chosen people, and still to this day believe that, what he's telling them this, you have this early chance to join the Christian church. But you know what? Other people are coming later. Other people are coming later. And you must not think that you're going to be treated better or special than those that come either now or later. And what he's really telling us is, no matter when we get there, whether the first one or the last one, God is going to treat us all the same. Doesn't matter when you arrive, when you become part of God's church. And I talked about Jews being the chosen people. So one of the things the story is telling them is, do not treat Gentiles as inferior. Gentiles would be us, because we're not Jewish. Not to treat us inferior. Because when you read some of the New Testament scripture, when people were trying to join the Christian church, those Christian members that had been Jewish, a lot of times were trying to make them do the same things that they did when they were Jewish as younger men and women. And so he's saying that's not necessary. Don't treat them as inferior. Now, he's not just talking to the Jews here. He's also talking to the new Christians. And he's telling us, it doesn't matter where you've been a Christian for 50 years, 5 years, or 1 year, you shouldn't treat new members or younger members as their inferior. So it's a lesson for both groups. So if you've been in the church for 50 years and somebody's for 1 year, you don't have some kind of special place just because you've been there for 50 years. God is going to treat us all the same, and what we're being told in this scripture is then we therefore should treat all Christians the same. It doesn't have anything to do with when you came or when you left. So again, no matter when we join the church, we're all equally dear to God. And so in this whole money thing, so let's see, who can I pick on? TJ, would you stand up, please? So it's the downside of me knowing your name. And Bill, because he wore his name thing today, I think. Bill?
Tom?
I was so close. I can't see it from here, but I thanked him for wearing a name tag today. It's Isom, though, right? See, I got half of it right. We'll pick on Dale and Anita, if they would stand. Okay? So what happens when I know your name. I could have called on Janet, too, because I know who she is. Okay? Or Joyce, or Ann. I'm getting better. I apparently just picked on this side of the room in case you didn't notice. So I hired TJ at 6 a.m., and he worked hard all day, and he did a really good job. And at the end of the day, I'm going to pay him one day's wage. And because I'm old, Bill, right? Tom, Bill, Fred, gee. Mr. Isom, how about that? He was there 3/4 of the day. And you know what? I've decided I'm going to pay him the same too. And Dale, he was only there 1/4 of the day, but you know what? I'm going to pay him the same too. And Anita came like at 5:00. It's almost dark. And you know what? I'm going to pay her the same too. Now, what's really important for them is whether Anita gets paid the whole day or part of a day, it takes a whole day pay for her to go and feed her family. And whether Dale gets paid for part of the day or all day, it takes a whole day's pay to feed all their family, and so forth. You guys can sit down. Thank you for letting me make fun of me for not remembering everybody's name. But it shows God's generosity. Now, what was normal for that time is Anita would have got paid for an hour's pay. Dale would have got paid for 3 hours' pay. Bill would have got paid for half a day's pay. Tom. Mr. Isom would have got paid for a half day's pay. TJ would have got paid for all day because he was there all day. That's what normally happened. And so when you would read this scripture 2,000 years ago, you'd be going, well, Anita wouldn't get an all day's pay. She was only there an hour. But what it's trying to show is how generous God was and is to each of us every day. And so no matter when you become a Christian, The promise of this scripture is that God's going to treat us all the same. So then, it's always fun when I can't remember exactly because I do the churches differently, I couldn't remember what I put at the top of this one. So it's not the amount of service that we provide to the Lord that matters. It's the love that counts. It's not the amount of service, but did we give our all? So when I think of that, you have opportunities to share what God gives us each and every day. He gives us grace and love. He gives us opportunities to share that grace and love with others. So did we take advantage of it, or did we not? Now, sometimes it's easy because people, they'll just ask you. And other times you have to take advantage of an opening that somebody gives you to tell them about your beliefs. And that's scary. I understand it's scary because sometimes you're going to get rejected. Jesus was rejected. Not everybody accepted him as well. And so God's grace that he gives us each and every day is not based on us. Because if it was based on us, the things that we all do, and I don't want anybody to share, but the things that we all do that we know are not what God wanted us to do, we often think that we don't deserve that grace. And we probably don't. But it comes to us because of what God wants to give us. So when they're talking about this work, so whether you're working or you're working for the Lord, it's the spirit in which it's done. Did we do it because we thought we had to? Did we do it because God led us to do it? Did we do it because God led us to do it? So this is, so at the end of this, you get to, this is my point in Christian life now that bothers me. So for a Christian, are we looking to see what we're going to get out of being a Christian? Or are we doing it because we love God and God loves us? And so I wrote Joseph Prince's name down there. Have any of you ever watched one of his? Yeah, okay. So since I lost the job at the bank, wasn't sleeping as well, getting up like at 3 in the morning, couldn't go back to sleep. There's a lot of weird stuff on TV at 3 in the morning, just so you know. And one of them is, I think, Joseph Prince. So have any of you ever watched him? Okay. And so he wrote a book. And a friend of mine gave it to me, and I will read anything that somebody gives me. Although Joseph Prince, for the first 5 or 6 chapters, the book's okay. I think it goes downhill towards the end. And the guy, I saw his commercial just yesterday, but I already had this done. Can't remember that selling the miracle water, whatever his name is, really dark hair. If you just ask him, he'll send you the miracle water. But what both of them have in common is what their point of their ministry is, if you give enough to their church, then you're going to get all these blessings back. But the problem is, for me, it's not blessings, it's money. They're really talking about money. And so Joseph Prince is in the Philippines, I believe, Indonesia, and his ministry, the church must have, it's thousands of people there. And they're all come up and say, oh, I gave this much to Prince's ministry, and then I got $40,000 and $20,000. And that's what the ad for the miracle water is, who's the name, I can't remember that guy right now. But God loving us and giving us blessings, somehow in this society we're in right now, has taken to mean that we're going to get money. Now, I would tell you that money is not a really good thing that brings happiness. And here's, so you get to hear another story. So since I told that story, I'm telling this story. As being a banker, I probably had 10 clients that won the lottery. Anywhere from like $1 million, I think the one guy won about 10, depending on how he took it. And you would think, what people have a tendency to think is, oh, everything will be okay. Well, I really only had one that didn't just lose the money, for lack of a better term. I mean, they had it and they bought stuff, but they didn't end up with anything. One guy got like $120,000 a year after taxes and stuff. And what he came to me for was he was already 2 years behind and he wanted to borrow on the money he was going to get 3 years from now because he couldn't pay his bills. Okay? Now you guys go, oh, well, no one's that stupid. Well, the other eight were that stupid because they wouldn't have been coming to me. The only one I ever had that seemed to kind of to monitor it in a way, and you could say that her life didn't exactly work out. Husband won it as part of when the factory out on Meeker and Muncie, Duffy, Toole, and Dye, there was like 20 guys that all won it. But they ended up, she said, we weren't getting along very well before he won the money, and when he got the money, it did make it better. We ended up getting divorced. So it wasn't good. She said, I get half the lottery winnings. So for her, it was like $40,000 a year. She had a good job. They lived in a nice house, took a really nice trip every year. But what she said was, what it allows me to do is to save about $20,000 a year for when the kids go to college, they'll be able to go wherever they want. And they were like 10 and 12 at the time. And she goes, I probably live in a little nicer house than I could based on my salary. The downside was she didn't want me to put that any place in her application because she said, and I quote, I don't want some moron to think I've got $1 million and kidnap my children. And so when we think about these people, and so like this money is the answer to everything, it is not. And so I really struggle with this whole idea of the closer relationship we have with the Lord, and we will get blessings, and I believe we get blessings, but somehow blessings is turned into green dollars, and I don't get that part. And so if you want to read kind of an interesting book, Joseph Prince has one. I think I passed that on to the library in Yorktown. I think it's closed for the next 5 weeks, but I think it's there after that. But you can get it if you want to. The first 5 or 6 chapters, I would say I pretty much agree with everything he's saying. But then those last 5 or 6, it's all about, well, if you give enough to my ministry, then you'll get double and triple money back. And that bothers me because that is not what being in service to the Lord is about. It's not about how much money am I going to get to put in my billfold. And so I worry about that. I think we confuse what blessings are that somehow in this world we're in, it's all about money. So Janet and I had a meeting and I read a book this week that somebody sent me because I told you, you send me a book, I'll read it. It's kind of a knock off a little bit of Dave Ramsey Financial Peace, but it's about your personal savings and what you should do. Some of it I agree with, some of it I don't. But it's talking about the same thing, that money just doesn't make people happy, and how you should take your money and share it with your church, with communities around you. Now, I didn't put this on the prayer chain today, but I helped the Muncie Mission with their golf outing this year. And it was this Thursday. Couldn't have been a better day. I mean, weather was almost perfect. And they canceled it earlier. And this is by far their biggest fundraiser for the year. And once we met the first time, and I'd never been involved in this before, Bob Scott asked me to participate. And I'd never been involved in it before. Before the pandemic, in case you didn't know, they invite all the pastors in the area to a luncheon. And that luncheon is to just thank them for the work they do in their communities. So you have people from Middletown and Honey Creek. And I don't ever remember if I saw Pastor Andy, but the guy that's at the Church of the Nazarene by the reservoir was there. So it's kind of all over the county. And there were some people from Randolph County. And the Muncie Mission is really just thanking all those pastors for what they do in their area. And so I agreed when Bob asked me that I would help with the golf outing. So the very first meeting, they are worried whether anybody's going to show up because they normally have somewhere between like 50 and 60 teams. And they've raised in the past, after expenses, like $30,000 or $40,000. And they're wondering if anyone will come. So we make the decision, we go ahead. So here's what happened. This is the way that God can work. There were 51 teams that played that day, pretty much broken morning and afternoon. Because of the pandemic, they decided they couldn't really serve lunch the way they'd always done it before, where someone would go through a line. So when you were done, the lunches were all in a box. You walked up, you picked up your box, you went and ate. They thought that some of the things they did to raise money were out on the course. They weren't really sure that they wanted volunteers interacting with all the golfers and exchanging money or credit cards, however they decide to do it. So they just said, you know what, we're not going to do that way this year. We're just going to have this game, and people can scratch off, and we're going to pick a winner, and everything will be done when they enter. And so they did all that. Now, I don't have the exact number, but based on the information they gave us the other day in an email, they probably raised like $40,000 for the mission that one day. So it went from, you know what, I don't even know if we can have this, to where 200 golfers, there were probably 8 or 9 of us on the committee that helped, and they probably had 20 volunteers at the golf course that day. And so with the staff for the Muncie Mission. And so you can see, I kind of view that as a God sighting. You can see how people could come together to help people that they're probably never going to know. And it wasn't just giving a check. Those volunteers that were there that day, they either worked the morning shift, which was about 8 to 1:30, or they worked the afternoon shift that was like 1:30 to, I think we were out of there like at 6:30. And two ladies on one of the holes, they were there all day. I saw them there in the morning. I saw them in the afternoon. Although somebody said, if you're just sitting in a lawn chair all day, is that really working? But they were there. They gave up their time to do that. So keeping all that in mind, so at the end of this whole idea of service is not that we're going to get something back, but our joy should be the joy of serving God and others. And that's what we can do. And it doesn't matter whether you have a nickel or whether you have $1 million, you can serve others. It is not based on money. There are a lot of different ways to serve family and friends, people that you never are going to know, that you're never going to see, like at the mission. The only time I see those guys is when we're coming to a meeting, and we haven't had a luncheon since January or February, but you would see them then. But there's just so many ways. If we can take the opportunities to let God lead us in the way that He wants to lead us. Amen? Father, we're so grateful that we can share the things that You give us freely. Back with Your church, not only here in Selma, but throughout Your world. We're grateful that we can come together this day and be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us not be afraid to share the grace and the love that You give us each and every day with all family and friends, all those that we come in contact with. Till we meet again, in Your name we pray. Amen.